Natural life, dear colleagues, is a constant struggle for survival as creatures, great and small, prey on one another. It is indeed all about natural selection and the survival of the fittest and the strongest. There's also one category of parasites that doesn't necessarily eat their prey. Instead, they live, as the name indicates, a parasitic life. Now, as human beings, we tend to believe that we've pretty much reached the top of the food chain, that we no longer have any natural enemies, that we are the ultimate killer on the planet. But in point of fact, for quite a significant number of parasitic creatures, we are nothing but food and shelter. And these parasites have been preying on us pretty much since the beginning of the human race. And I think we can broadly divide them into two categories. There are parasitic creatures that you can actually spot with the naked eye, and you catch them between thumb and forefinger, you crush them, and you're rid of them, like fleas, for instance, or lice. But there's the other and infinitely more significant category of microbes, bacteria, viruses, that we didn't even know existed until comparatively recently in our history. And we've always been practically defenseless in front of them. So the question is then, how come they didn't wipe us out? We didn't even know they were there, let alone how to defend ourselves against them. So how come they didn't kill us? Well, the thing is, despite the common belief, viruses and bacteria are not really killers. They're not interested at all in killing us. Actually, killing us would be the most silly thing on their part, because it would be pretty much like burning your own house, right? They need us. And whenever they kill us, and sometimes they do kill us, it is largely by accident. It's more often an accidental mutation. It would seem to be the case with the Ebola virus, which is extremely virulent. It kills more than 80% of the people it infects. But that appears to be an exception. Normally, if they kill that 1% of the people they infect, which they normally kill, in that 1% we usually find children or people who are already sick and weakened, people suffering from malnutrition and whatnot. So they don't really want to kill us. And there's another example to show that viruses gradually take measures to keep us alive. Well, not us in the example, but rather the rabbits, because in the 1950s, Australia had a big problem. Rabbits, wild rabbits, were breeding like rabbits. And there were millions of them, and they were destroying the crops. So a virus was engineered and actually released into the rabbit population. And in the first months, it killed them. I mean, it killed them in droves. Millions of rabbits died. But gradually, they began to develop an immunity, or rather, I should say, the virus mutated so as to no longer kill the host. Because more rabbits, well, that's more housing for the viruses, isn't it? Thank you.